Okay, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. It's the one right before Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. So go to the second last book in the Old Testament, chapter 4. It's funny how God gets a person ready to bring a message that's supposed to go to people. And sometimes it's very straightforward, sometimes it's not. Sylvia asked me last night after we had the movie, well, do you have your message? And I said yes to her at first. And then the Lord convicted me because I didn't have it. And so I told her, I said, well, I don't really have it, but I know I am going to have it. And so I went home last night. I thought, gee, was I going to get a message, you know? But I didn't feel led to, you know? I went to bed and fell asleep. I thought, well, I'll get up at 5 o'clock and see what the Lord speaks. And I woke up at almost 6 and... I was very relaxed. You know, I just knew, you know, God will give me the message. But during the night, I had a dream, and I want to share this dream with you all. At different parts of my life, I've had dreams where a big tidal wave comes up. I think I've shared this once before. A big tidal wave comes up. I'm on the shoreline and I'm looking out at the ocean, and all of a sudden this big tidal wave comes up. It's done different things. I've had this probably 3 or 4 different times. And the last two times that I had it, I actually ran at the wave and dived into the bottom of the wave and came up on the other side. Well, last night, I'm already out in the water, and I have turned toward the shoreline. I'm looking at the shoreline, okay? So my back is to the main part of the ocean. And the tidal wave starts from the shoreline. And it rose right up, and I did the same thing. I dove into the bottom of the wave, and it went up or washed over me. And I came up out of the wave, and instead of feeling water, I was very, very cognizant of this glowing, it felt like oil. Okay? It felt like oil on me. And I'm looking at it. It's goldy, sparkly, and so I'm looking at myself, and then I look up at the shoreline, and here was just a beautiful sun. And it was shining. And I felt such a peace and happiness just flood my soul. I don't know how to describe it more than that, and it's more than what I'm saying to you. I don't have enough words to say what that felt like, but it was beautiful. And so the thought came to me about as I was praying this morning and trying to sense what direction the Lord wanted to go in. I thought about the dream. I went, oh, maybe there's something there. So in the dream, this whole thing about the oil and stuff led me to Zechariah. So all of this is to just get us to understand why we're going to start out in Zechariah, and we're going to move into some other scriptures. But it's Zechariah, and it's chapter 4. Okay, Zechariah chapter 4. And I'm going to read 3 verses, well, 4 verses, verses 6 through 9. It says this, "And then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that you should be, that thou shalt become a plain? And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings crying, Grace, grace unto it." Now, I'm going to stop there and just talk about this. You notice here that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. We are in times that are overwhelming, I would say. That we're in times of much stress, of much turmoil, of much terror, of lots of uncertainty. And we could tend to either be overwhelmed by it to the point of fear and other bad responses, or we try to put our own hand to things, and by our own power, by our own might, we're going to get ourselves through this. And the Spirit says, it's not by any of these things that are going to get you through these times of trouble. It's only going to be by my Spirit. And that's even true about any minor thing where it's not a troublesome thing. Even standing up before people to bring a message, or when you're talking to your relatives, or when you meet somebody on the street, it's not by your own thoughts, it's not by your own understandings of things, it's going to be by His Spirit, isn't it? Any person could come up and read through some scriptures and make a message. You know what I'm saying? What we want is a message that comes from God, right? It's a message that has an anointing that comes from the Lord. And so I want to talk about this because by His Spirit. It's going to be by His Spirit. But what we see here is, in that very next verse, it says it's going to be by grace. By grace. All right? Now, we have talked about grace a lot. What is grace? Undeserved favor. What else can you say about what grace is? Because it's not just one-sided.
Power.
We need to. That's right. It's His power, isn't it? It's His ability. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it, right? We don't deserve His grace, but He showers His grace. And that grace comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? His grace comes through His Spirit. There's a connection there. If we're moving in His Spirit, we're moving in His grace. Amen? And I want to talk about this because, the movie that we saw last night about all the different, those 12 people and how people were faithful to bring the Lord to people in good by good actions or by sharing the gospel, whatever it was. That's by grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am going to demand response.
Okay. It goes on and says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." The Lord was given Zechariah this prophecy that what Zerubbabel had started, He was going to finish. The building of the Lord's temple. Okay? And I want us to know and to realize and to be secure in where we are that what Jesus has started in you, He is going to finish. He is going to finish what He came here to do. And when He was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." Right? What He was to accomplish in His first coming, He accomplished. And now there's something more. We're in an age of grace.
aren't we? This is known as the age of grace. This is where he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And it's that same age of grace is still upon us. And we can't do something for God without it being God who's doing it through us. Isn't that right? So it really takes an onus off of any of us to feel like, oh, I don't have the right words to say, and I'm afraid to do this, and I'm just a little old person. What can I do for Jesus? You can do everything for the Lord. Yeah? Do you know that? Do you really know that? Yeah, up here. Right?
Yeah.
I think we need to understand the grace of God so much more, because God needs spokespeople. You know that? We are getting inundated with lies. Our children are being inundated with lies in the public schools, in the universities. They're hearing the wrong message. And if they don't hear the opposite, so that they can at least make a choice, they're just going to believe that that's how it is. We need people with voices that speak, that aren't afraid to, that don't look at themselves and say, I can't do this. Every single one of us can speak, and speak what God wants you to speak to people. How much have we heard things like this in different facets for a good while? This is your flesh wants to withdraw and run away from what you're hearing right now. Because it's like the movie last night. We can talk all we want to about Jesus and his love, but you know what? We have to be his representatives on this earth. We need to be more than having a faith that remains within ourselves. Isn't that right? And like the pastor and like some of the other people, at some point in time, it really does need, and I think this is every day, we need to allow God to give us the opportunity to have that expressed. Huh? Yes?
Yep.
And it's scary because he puts you in places that you're not comfortable with. You know, it's scary. So that's why you should be praying all the time and being connected with God all the time. Because when those situations come up,
yep,
he's gonna make you ready.
Exactly. All right. Now I want you. We're gonna talk about. See, we have this grace. God's given us grace. We're saved by grace, right? We're in this age of grace, and everybody, well, everybody, but lots of people stop when you think of grace about salvation. Oh, by grace are you saved? By faith, through faith. So. And people kind of stop there. But this grace that God is talking about, that I'm going to speak about today, is this continuing grace that has an effect on the world in the little ways that each of us as individuals can have. Because you noticed from that movie last night that it didn't look like there was some grand thing that most of those people did, but it affected people, didn't it? All these little ways that we can affect people. And we don't think that even just a kind pat on the shoulder sometimes is an encouragement that somebody really needs, and you don't think anything of it. And here you are being a messenger of God, a portal of the Spirit of God to somebody else. Because we're always looking for some grand thing, right? And God just wants us to be listening to him, to be happy about him and what he's done, to ask that we can be people that really are going to touch people, and then believe that that's what's going to happen.
Even though we don't see some direct thing right off the bat. So, in the meantime, we have the grace that brings us into salvation. But what about right now? That's what I want to talk about. So, James chapter 4. The book of James. Chapter 4. Now, how many of you want to move in the grace of God? You want to move in the grace of God, right? God's the one that gives it, right? I'm going to read to you who God gives grace to. Because this has something to do with you and me. A choice that we make. Listen to this. James 4, verse 6. But God gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who?
The
to the humble.
Humble.
We have to be humble people. We have to be people that aren't looking to make a name for ourselves. We have to be a people that aren't afraid to step out and speak things and to do the right thing for people and wonder, am I going to be accepted? Because that comes back to pride, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does. I can't speak because I can't speak as good as that other person over there. That stops a lot of people.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that touch you a little bit?
Yes.
Sometimes we don't want to speak because we think that we can't speak as well as somebody else. Let him speak. Or let her speak. And God wants to do something with you. Yeah? Because what's grace if it isn't used? Why would God give us something and then we said, no, I'm not gonna use that?
Malcolm, I think a lot of times you go through hard times so that you do get humble. And then when you go through those hard times, God gives you the grace to go through, and then you have something to witness.
I think that's true.
Go through those hard times. You know, sometimes you sit up here and your life is just going along perfectly, and then
I'm going to put this in a frame of something that's more natural. Our country. From after World War II, for decades, we've been on this upward climb financially, in all kinds of ways, and we've become a very proud nation, haven't we? And we've really turned away from the Lord as a nation, and now we're getting humbled, aren't we? Now, we as a nation can choose to either be humbled by it and know that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be anything. You know what happened after 9/11? We said, we're going to come back.
Yeah.
It was in our own strength. It was by our own might. And we didn't, as a nation, really turn back to God. Maybe for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it was
short term.
It was very, very short term. And after that, it was going to be what we can do. And God has to continually humble us. Sometimes we need this. We need to be humbled. And on an individual level, there's times where God allows us to go through experiences just like Julie said, so that we can come out on the other side of it in the right way. Because we don't seem to really grow as much when things are moving so smoothly, do we? It's when there's a dip in the road that we learn. And we've got to trust the Lord through all of that. Okay. So,
Malcolm?
Yes, go ahead.
You want to continue on verse 7?
Okay. It says, this kind of goes along with the humbleness. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's a lot. That's what a lot of Christianity is. It's very double-minded, you know. We believe, but we have some unbelief. We have faith, but we're faithless at other times. You know, we're looking to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord, aren't we? All right, now, I'm going to go to several scriptures pretty fast. The next one is going to be Hebrews chapter 10. Or, I'm sorry, chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And this is talking about this whole thing about everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It's in verse 27, but I'm not going to go to that one. I'm going to go to the next verse. And it says this in verse 28. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us have what?
Grace.
Let us. Oh, it's, we can have grace? It isn't something that just happens by chance. It isn't something that happens just when God wants to do it and you have no control over it. Actually, if we look at grace, if it says, let us have grace, that means it's available. There's a grace that's there that's available to us. Think about that. The ability at any time to have this power, this ability that comes from God to handle any kind of situation. We can. We can. We can have it. That should get, you know, get all of us up doing a jig.
Without grace, you can't forgive.
You can't do anything.
You can't truly forgive.
Like, you can't.
All the you know, the people that hurt you and things that have hurt you. And if you try to forgive somebody who's hurt you without grace, it's impossible.
Right. Yeah.
And it's amazing.
When it comes. Yeah. And it's kind of funny sometimes with this whole concept of grace is because God has to be the initiator. And we have to know, this is what this scripture is letting us understand, is we have to know that it is available.
Yes.
See, grace is available. And it's going to happen in God's timing. But it also requires us to know that I can reach into it and have it when I need it. Yeah. How great is that? How great is to have God's supernatural ability to do something. Yeah, Chris.
Well, I was thinking that love is the baseline for grace. Love is the baseline for everything. And love is not a feeling. It is an act of our will. Which, where grace comes in to that act of our will, we can't do it without grace.
Yeah.
But it's not a feeling.
No. And lots of times that's how we do things, by our feelings, you know? And sometimes we've got to go beyond that. Okay, so that is the Hebrews 12, 28. Okay, I'm going to jump real fast to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's verse 13. It says this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, we can hope for grace. See, there's something more than just waiting for grace to show up. Do you get this? You know, in the morning, God, give me the grace that I'm going to need for what's ever coming my way today. Good or bad, give me the grace. You know, to understand that it's there and to be able to ask for it. To be able and hope and know that there's a hope that we can have, that God is going to give us, supply us that grace when we, you know, when we need that help. I'm excited about this whole concept here, because it isn't something that just kind of maybe will happen to us. Whenever God wants, you know, God has it available to us at all times. And we can ask for it. God, give me the grace I need. Because grace is really what we need to be able to love, to understand things, to understand other people, to give them room. Sometimes, to be able to forgive them, to love them, to do the right thing, to turn away from those wrong desires that want to grab right a hold of you and not let you go and hold you in bondage. It's grace that's going to break those things. Steve, what's the name of that book that you guys are studying on Tuesday mornings? What's that called?
Bondage Breakers.
You and I can't break any bondage.
No.
In and of ourselves, through our own efforts. I'm going to do this for you, God. You're not going to do it. It just isn't going to happen. Right. But you can break bondages. You can have a word that is in due season for somebody. That's the right thing to say at the right time. You will have the right kind of action or reaction to somebody when you need it. When you call out to God for that grace. And sometimes He'll give it to you right on the spot. There's other times where we've got to be prepared. We have to be washed in the asking. Washed in the hoping for the grace that we're going to need to have for what lies before us. Especially if this country is going to go through some perilous times. And the way it looks, our country as a nation, as a government of a nation, and we're judged by the government, by our government, you know that. By the government and by its people. Yeah. And especially in a democracy, the government is a reflection of what's going on with the people. We're not anywhere close to turning back toward God. So things are going to get worse. Yeah. I know you don't want to hear that. But I'm going to tell you the truth about this. And we're going to need more grace than what we have experienced right now. We're going to have more godly power in our lives to turn away from sins, to turn away from the thing that would emotions that would really bring us down and out. The fear, the worry. Are any of those things godly?
No.
Is being anxious for anything godly? Is being fearful of things godly?
No.
You get it?
No.
I'm glad. I'm glad somebody was honest. Yeah, go ahead.
Carla told me, she just told me something that a few minutes ago that kind of goes along with how the world is thinking right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
And she was saying that in after the California thing, you know, a lot of people were praying and stuff. And one of the major papers in the country said, we need to stop praying, was the headline.
Yeah.
Because nothing, it's not helping, is basically the foundation behind it. So that's what the world... That's what the world is telling us, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, what you're talking about is sometimes we need to be humbled and then we rise out of the humbling, right? So in the world's view, praying isn't helping because these things are still happening.
Yeah.
So that's where everything gets twisted there.
Yes.
And then it takes a person to stand in the gap and fix that. So you need to say, wait, I can't remember what the next part was about the guy saying what his words were.
Prayers are nothing without action, and action is nothing without prayer.
Yeah.
Right. So, this other guy goes on the talk show, and he's talking about this headline.
And he addresses it.
And so
sure,
he did.
It wasn't The View, but it was
kind of
like one of those.
Yeah.
Things, and they were all having their own opinion. Basically, most of them were agreeing with the paper, and then he came out and said that.
Yeah, because the Washington Post, I think the headline read, God can't fix this.
Yeah. New York Post. I think it's New York Post. Yeah, New York Post. Yeah.
So the world is saying these things, but it's up to us to stand there. We have to be like that person that said, no, you guys are confused. You're not seeing the whole picture. You're missing it.
How much courage does that take? Have you ever been in a room where there's numbers of people and they're really, they're on the opposite side of what you know to be true? And you know what happened? Yeah, most of the time. And do we have enough courage to say, wait a minute, and be like that person, you know, and say these things? You know, wait a minute, that's not true. That isn't how I see it. You know, I mean, we don't have to be stupid about the way we talk, but we can say, well, wait a minute, I disagree with you guys on this. This is what I think, and speak. Because if people don't hear that there's an opposite view, they're just going to flow right into that. We've got to do this. You know that.
What I don't understand is there's millions of Christians in this country.
Yes.
More than any atheist or anything else.
Yes.
But yet they're not speaking up and they're letting the other.
Yes.
Speak them
yes.
And say nothing. They got to get up there and say something.
Yeah, people need to be able to speak. We've been shut. Our mouths have been
right.
Been
there
shut.
Majority. Yeah. We shouldn't be overruled.
Right. And we should. And we shouldn't allow that. People. Well, that person has a right. You know, separation of church and state. But the only separation of church and state is the Christian view. In schools, it's just fine for the Muslims. It's just fine for anybody else. But don't you dare bring a Bible. You guys saw the on the news this weekend about the coach, the junior high coach that was praying, and they told him he had to stop. You know, I mean, this happens more and more and more and more. And unless people stand up and speak out against it, we're going to see more and more and more of that take away. We don't want to be the one that causes a wave. And I'm the same way. I am exactly the same way. I don't want to beat somebody that. But we can do this in the right way, can't we? Nicely, gently. But humbly, but push against what's trying to get jammed down our throats. Because I think the majority of people in America don't like what they're seeing right now. I would hope so.
That goes with what you're saying. We let God do it.
We have to allow God to give us the grace to be able to stand in the gap.
Somebody has to. Why not? Why not me? Why not you? You don't have to turn to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Ah. So we've been given grace, and now he expects us to be strong in it. Yeah? Something, see, something to say to God, you know, because I have to say to the Lord, God, I need to be stronger in your grace. Please help me to be stronger in the grace, in this divine ability that you can give somebody to give them the courage they need, the boldness they need, to stand in the gap, to speak truth to lies. Lies, lies are overrunning this country. Political correctness is in this world, yeah, is overrunning. And people just kind of step back. It's a timidness because we don't want to be labeled a certain way. And we've got to, God, give me the grace to not be shackled up by those concepts. Otherwise, we will find ourselves more and more and more being rights and privileges being taken right away from us. We think we're just going to bounce through this like we've done in the past, and everything's just going to end up working itself out, whether we stand in the gap or not. And that's not going to happen. Not this time. God is providing us with the grace, with the ability that we need to stand up to the ever-increasing evil that's coming in this world. But if we step back, evil is going to abound even more. And God will give us a more abounding grace to be able to handle all this stuff. We've got to know that we can more than meet this task that's set before us. Because God is going to give us the grace for it. Isn't he?
Well, how do we resist the devil? We don't give way.
Yeah, you can't give way. You know, how's that scripture in Proverbs? I think it's Proverbs 25. Like a polluted spring, like a muddied up well, is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. That's what it says. Do you have that? Can you find that? I think it's Proverbs. I think this is important for us. Give us some kind of impetus. Here's a scripture Proverbs 25:26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. That's how it reads in the King James. You want to be a pool of clear water, or do you want to be a muddied spring? You make that choice.
Now
yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
If the godly give in to the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying that spring.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And that's what's been happening in our country for decades. Decades we've given. Because we're told that we need to be tolerant, that we have to accept all these other rules. Christianity is the most tolerant of all religions. We don't cut somebody's head off if they don't believe the same way we do. Do we?
Fear is a big problem with that too, is that we're so afraid to be labeled as something.
Yes.
If you stand in the gap, then you're intolerant. If you stand in the gap, you're a hater, a racist.
Right.
They're always throwing some label onto us, extremists, anything like that. They're throwing some label at us. And But that shuts us down.
Yeah.
Because we're afraid of what somebody else is going to say about us. Yeah. And we need to make sure that it doesn't matter what they say.
Yeah.
What matters is what God says.
Exactly.
And when we finally say, listen, God is telling me to say this or do this, then I don't care if there's a whole city that says you are this, and but if you're right with God, then who cares what they say? You know? We gotta put our faith, it comes back to trust and get rid of that fear and,
yes,
and trusting God that He's gonna protect us, even like in that movie, right? You know, there's a guy who's he works for the city and as an EMT and he's put in a place where he's gonna lose everything.
Yep.
Right? He's gonna lose everything and he stands in the gap. And he doesn't care if he loses everything because he has enough trust in God that even if he does lose everything, he's gonna come back.
Yes.
He's gonna start from ground zero.
Yep.
And come back. But it takes faith and trust and trusting God that even though things are looking terrible, I'm gonna come back.
Yes.
You know? There's gonna be a job for me. There's gonna be somebody who's gonna love me. There's gonna be people who are supporting me. You know? You gotta look at the whole picture. And you gotta have enough trust to get rid of the fear. And when that happens, then life changes.
And that the grace that's involved with that. Yeah. I mean that guy moved in a lot of grace.
Yeah.
To be able to have the courage to do what he did. I'm going to finish up with two scriptures here. One is 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's verse 18. And here's Peter speaking to whoever, to whatever group it was. He says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, we can grow in grace. See, we can grow in grace. We don't just wait for something. We can ask God about, God, let me grow in the grace that I'm going to need to have. I want to have the ability in my heart. We have to ask God this. In other words, God, give me the divine ability to handle this thing or that thing or what's going on in my life right now. I need your grace. I need you to have it grow in me. Because it doesn't feel like what I have is doing a good job right now. You know what I mean? We need to grow in that grace and have that ability that we need. That's that one. And the last scripture I want to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
And I'm going to finish up with this. That's 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says this: "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Oh, see, anything that you need, you can have it from God. He has the ability to give it to you. Are you going to avail yourself of it? God, I'm afraid here, but God, give me the grace. And then by faith, you go ahead and you step out and you allow it to happen. Isn't that how you became saved?
Yes.
By grace are you saved through faith. God gives you the ability. You got to step out in faith and believe that God's gonna be there for you, right?
Yes.
You don't stand there waiting for Him to move you. You make a decision, you make a conscious decision. I am gonna step out in faith knowing that God will give me the grace that I need to do this very thing. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And he'll do it.
Yes, He will.
Man. And we'll all get tested in this, you know that.
And God will allow for opportunities to come up. See, and probably, you know, right now, as I remember, he was God, don't make it too hard for me this week. You know, give me some little thing that I know that I'll be able to handle. See, and that's screwball thinking, isn't it? I'm not growing. I just keep it nice and comfortable for me, God. It's a fear. You see, I mean, people of grace,
saved by grace, people that have all grace that can abound toward us, and we're afraid still, aren't we? That should be something that you can go home and I'm going to go home and say, God, please, I don't want to be run by that kind of fear in my life. It's in the background, and it works on us, and we just want everything to be comfortable. I'm so afraid what God's going to do this week. No, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, everybody, we're all in this. We're all in this. And you know what? To grow in grace, there's going to be an exercise of that that's going to have to happen. You know? And it would be nice to be able to recognize, oh, this is what's happening to me. Well, Lord, I'm got to move in your grace. Give me the grace to face what I got to face here. Right? Give me the grace to be able to speak to that person about you. Because we don't want to be bound in fear. I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants to be bound up in fear. Bound up in sin. Is there anybody? We don't want that. But and what's really amazing is God is giving us the grace to break those bonds. He's given us the grace to do it.
Man.
To dive into that tidal wave head first.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's nice when it's a dream.
Yeah.
It's another thing when I have to actually do something that, you know, in real life, you know, you see movies and, you know, that's them on the screen. How wonderful. Oh, what a wonderful thing that person did. And then you get in that position and we don't want to have anything to do with it. So Lord, you're a God of grace. Amazing grace. So Lord, we humble ourselves right now before you. We know that your grace is available to us. And Lord, we hope for the grace. We want to be strong in the grace. We want to grow in grace. Help us, God. Funny, little, fearful creatures. But Lord, turn us back to the light. We walk in your light and dispel the darkness in ourselves and in the community all around us. And we ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.